All right. Our message this evening is on the testimony of Peter and John, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we'll read the first 13 verses, and we'll talk about those things that will help us to be what we ought to be as far as that's concerned also. So in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all,'" see, they were Southerners, "you all, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And that verse 13, I'll read it one more time. That is our text verse. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." We can notice here in this particular portion of Scripture the radiant, warm, attractive testimony of Peter and John. I wonder if the same kind of a testimony could be our testimony. Would we have a testimony that would cause people to notice us, not for the purpose of us being the ones to be notified, but that we had the Lord in our lives and loved the Lord enough that people would understand that we were Christians and so forth. And I remember when I was in Bible college and working at Leonard's grocery store, how that sometimes I was over the whole frozen food department and some other places too, and it'd have to go to the back, and you'd have to count inventory, you'd have to put stuff on a buggy and bring it out and so forth. And sometimes some of the guys that worked there, because they had 19 checkout counters and they were full all the time, there's lots of people there. But people would come back, and when I first started to work there as I was a Bible Baptist Seminary student, all they had to do one time start telling a bad joke, and a dirty joke or something, and I would say, "I don't want to listen to any of that. I don't want to listen to any of that." And so it didn't take long till nobody came back there and helped me at all when I had to do all those things, but I got the privilege of letting them know that I was a Christian. And that was a blessing, not trying to promote myself or anything like that, but I believe that we ought to try to be the very best we can. And that's what happened to Peter and John. They served the Lord. They had to suffer many, many times as well, but they served the Lord. And so I wonder if our Christianity affects other people. Unfortunately, every once in a while, I would hear someone who, when they were around Christians, talked like Christians, and when they were around ungodly people, they talked ungodly. That's not, to me, a Christian. It may be someone who's saved, and they're not going to be able to give account of themselves to the Lord for what they have done in the wrong. He's keeping track of it, and he's keeping track of the right as well. But here we find in this particular portion of Scripture that Peter and John were godly men. And that's what we need in our churches and in our communities and in Christianity, is godly men and godly women and godly teenagers and godly young people, young kids and everything that know the Lord. If they are taught at home, then they will be that when they're out away from home. So the first thing I want us to notice is the profession without a possession. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobates. That means a void of judgment. Now, that's not Peter and John doing that. That was the people when they were talking about the people here, and it's in the book of Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. There are a lot of people who profess to be Christians, and yet they don't act like it. They don't protect their speech and all those sorts of things. And then another thing I want us to notice is a half-hearted Christian. We had here a Christian without possession, profession without possession, and now we have a half-hearted Christian. You know, that has to be miserable. It's not only miserable for the people they're around, it's miserable for themselves. Because people who profess to be saved, you ask somebody, are you saved? And they just got through telling a dirty story, or they just got through cussing, or they just got through saying, you know, well, I hadn't been in church in a long time, but I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Matthew 26:58 said, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Half-hearted Christians. And so we don't want to be that kind. But then the next one is lukewarm Christians. So we have a profession without possession, a half-hearted Christian, and now we have a lukewarm Christian. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 16, the Bible said, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But Peter and John had the real thing. I'm trying to read my own writing here. They disturbed the crowd. Let me read verse 5 and verse 6 again. It says in verse 5 and verse 6, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now look at verse 13 to go along with that. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So they had a wonderful testimony. Some people do not have a wonderful testimony, but Peter and John had a wonderful testimony. And here these people, when they saw their boldness and that they were ignorant and unlearned men, that's in the worldly system, I think, is what they were considering. They weren't ignorant men. They were men of knowing the Bible and following in the Lord's footsteps as He would have them to be. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. And so it's a wonderful thing not to be a professed Christian only, and a half-hearted Christian only, or a lukewarm Christian. And so I want us to think, that's the introduction to the message. I want us to look at verse 13 again, and it tells us about, it is quickly seen that the testimony of Peter and John was true. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled with them that they had been with Jesus. You know, our peers know us, and they know us for the good or for the bad. They know us if we are real as a Christian or not. There's many people who go around and say, oh yes, I was saved at a certain age or in a certain church and so forth, but they tell bad stories and they use God's name in vain and they don't go to church on a regular basis, and that does not affect other people who are lost that have a desire to be saved because they don't think salvation means much to people. But yet there are people who love the Lord supremely, like Peter and John, and that causes other people to have a desire to be like them and to be like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. So our peers know if we have the real thing or if we don't have the real thing. There's two vital places that we ought to be good Christians, and they are at home and at work. Of course, we always ought to be good, vital Christians in church. Most people come to church, act like church people, act like Christians. But when we get outside the door, how do we act? How do we talk? How do we think? What do we read? What do we see? Where do we go? And those kinds of things. And so it's a wonderful thing to know, as Peter and John were examples of a believer in word and conversation and all those things, and they caused other people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it's bold and fearless in verse number 13 again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, people saw them, and they saw them in their might. Look at verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." They could not deny their testimony and the things that they had done for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they did what they did with all their might. And that's what a Christian ought to do. We ought to serve the Lord with all of our might. As we wake in the morning and pray and read our Bible, and as we get ready for our Sunday school class if we're teaching one, or read the Bible every day. And, it's a wonderful thing to read God's Word. Sometimes we get weary, but we should not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. So thank God for His Word. You know, I like to start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through Revelation and then start back over again and do it again and over again and do it again. And it's just a wonderful thing. And you know, I make some notes, and I've got a page after page after page of things that I've written down that I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. A lot of times. But yet, there are things that I read and I think, well, you know, I've read the Bible through all these times and I never saw that verse. But you know, that's always a good thing. It's a good thing to remember, because sometimes, well, I'm going to confess now, and I hope that I'm not the only one like this. But sometimes I'll be reading through my chapters, and in my mind, I've got something on my mind or had something on my mind, and I begin thinking about what I've got to do after a while, or what I did yesterday, and what I've got to do next week. And I'll read half a chapter, and I have to go back and read it again, because I had not. I was reading the words, but I was thinking about something else. Anybody here ever did that? Well, good. That's good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm sure we all have at times. But you know, that's not what I want to do, but that's what Peter and John were good men, and people took notice that they'd been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing with all their might. And in verse 18 through 21, we find that their mannerisms, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. So they went home. No, that's not on there. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it is right to in the sight of God to hearken unto you, or more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And so thank God for that. And then in their, not only in their manner, but in their message, they had boldness and fearlessness, because they loved the Lord and followed His precepts. And I want to look at that. We talked about the manner and the boldness, and now let's talk about the message. We'll go back to verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, then it says, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not by them, but by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Then jump down to verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's an important verse, because some people think that there are many ways of salvation. The Bible teaches one way of salvation. And Jesus Christ is the only one that we can call unto and receive as our Savior and go to heaven when we die. It's not somebody that's famous and we go to them and they give us a lot of advice and we think, well, you know, you ought to go to church and you ought to do this and you ought to do that and be good and don't be bad and all these sorts of things. We ought not to do those bad things or those things that are not good, but we need to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men here had more than Sunday go to meeting religion. They had the religion of Christianity every moment of every hour of every day of every week. And if they got cast into prison, they just preached in the prison. They just trusted in the Lord. They knew that He was going to do something for them because He was their Savior and their Lord. Say, well, why did the Lord let people who loved the Lord like they did go to prison? Well, it was because this world is in a terrible fix. There are more people in the world than that really love the Lord. We need to try to reach and find those that do love the Lord. And then I want you to notice also that it is ready to suffer persecution. Verse number 3 again says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So they got to go to prison. But they used it for an advantage. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, it tells us here in those verses, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. But notice the next verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I mean, they didn't say, well, we're going to go out and do this. They just let them get them out, and then they went and did this. And it's a wonderful thing to have a testimony like that. And so it's ready to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. It's independent of natural gifts. Go back to chapter 4 and let's read again verse number 13, which tells us, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, God can use a nobody and make a somebody out of a nobody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 31. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught or nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the Lord can take somebody that doesn't really understand what they're to do, but when they find out by reading the Word or hearing the Word or listening to God touch their hearts, they do it. They are blessings. They are blessings. And they have natural gifts that God allows them to use them for the glory of God. And then I want us to also notice in verse 4, it gets big results. Again, in verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Man, wouldn't that be good if we could just have 5,000 people walk in the door and get saved, get right with God? Well, it'd be difficult in this church for the room or even for the town and people in town. But, you know, God wants us to know in His Word that He's not lacking anything to save people. He will save all who will come unto Him and call upon Him for the Savior. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, let's also look at the testimony of Peter, John gets results. They were two witnesses. And the Bible tells us again in verse number four. Let me get back to my regular text again. In verse number four, here it says, Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000 souls. That's a lot of people. Two witnesses and 5,000 souls. How about that? Well, that's great. Is it different today? Well, let me look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, because what it talks about is the gospel. Look at the gospel in Romans 1 and verse number 16. It says here, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That word power means the dynamite of God. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should never be ashamed to be a Christian. And we should never be ashamed to realize that, of course, the Jew first and also to the Greek, because that's the way God had it set up in the Word of God. The Jews are God's people. There are many of them that get saved. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a Hyman Appleman or not. I know Vera's heard him preach, and I've heard him preach. But he was a man who came to our seminary and different places where he'd been, and was a great evangelist from West Virginia, and just preached. And he was a converted Jew. And what a wonderful thing it was to see a man stand up there and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ that was born a Jew and was a saved Jew. And that's a wonderful thing, because those are God's wonderful people. Is it different today? Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I also had that down. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus never changes. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we have faults and failures and all those kinds of things. But thank God that Jesus is always the same. We never have to worry about when we pray to Jesus and He hears our prayers and He gives that to the Heavenly Father, that's going to continue on for all eternity. So we can talk to Jesus any time of the day, any time of the night, any moment, and whenever wherever we're at. I've told people, I said, if you're driving down the highway and you want to just talk to the Lord, just talk to the Lord. The only thing that I recommend is don't close your eyes and fold your hands if you're driving down the road. Just talk to the Lord, because He's always there. He's everywhere. He's our God and our Savior, and thank God for that. The Bible tells us that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man's inherent need is found in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The Bible said, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, you know, as we think about what the Word, the Bible warns us, because it says here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, anyone can know the Word of God, and they can know that if we're not what we ought to be, then we need to know it, and we need to try to make the best of things. And that's what Peter and John went around doing. They preached in jail. They preached out of jail and to the people, and they marveled about them preaching. That doesn't mean that everybody that marveled about their preaching got saved, but many people got saved. In fact, we read about 5,000 that got saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that when we worship the Lord and witness for the Lord, it attracts people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look at verse number 13 here. It says, "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them." "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, and oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." It attracts people to Jesus Christ. And then we also find in chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Scripture says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And so we have to realize that we're not good enough to save ourselves. We must depend on the preachers, the Word of God, the God of the Word. That's what He's here for, to save us from our sins. And in 1 Corinthians, in verse number 14, the Bible tells us here, "For when the Gentiles which have not the way, the law, do by the nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." Verse 21 tells us, "Though thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? In other words, it gratifies God. It glorifies God when we do the things that are right and eliminate the things that are wrong. What was the secret of John and Paul? Well, here's what it is. They'd been with Jesus. That could sum it up. They had been with Jesus. How had they been with Jesus? Well, in place of pardon, they got to see the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus died on that old rugged cross. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I want to turn over to that one, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. I didn't mark that one, so I'll have to turn to it. But Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 tells us this. I've got a different Bible, and these pages want to stay together. I got it that time. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 tells us, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And all it talks about is the power of God, the prayer with God, and the patience of God. And so we can be what God would have us to be. And thank God that we can do that as we trust in Him. After we receive that power in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us, again, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, called Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So they went back where God was and where He met with them. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible tells us this. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." And that ninth hour, according to that time, is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went up into the temple to pray. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we can pray as God would have us pray. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 24. it says here, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all them is, who is by the mouth of thy servant David, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that which with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Prayer is important. And it's a wonderful thing to know that these men were great men. They were men who followed in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lifted up their voices to God with one accord. And that's what we need to do. When we get around people who aren't saved, we need to be a testimony. We shouldn't have a holier-than-thou attitude. We ought to let people know that we're concerned about their soul and so forth. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that there are people in the Bible that we can read about that are just like Peter and John, and how that they were the kind of men that God could use. And sometimes they even went to prison, but they used what they had for the Savior in the prison. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can read in the Bible how we should live. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus came to this world to seek and to save us. And, Lord, then to train us and to teach us. And the Word of God is important for our lives. So, Father, I pray tonight that you would just help us to always remember that the Bible is the most important book that we'll ever hold in our hands. And, Lord, we can read it. And sometimes there are things that we don't understand. We just keep on reading. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the Christians we ought to be. Bless each and every one that's here tonight as we sing an invitation hymn if someone needs to come and pray about something, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.